1 John chapter 3. And I'll go ahead and read this text again that we read and preached from this past Sunday. We certainly enjoyed that good service we had Sunday night, and those folk from that school there did a wonderful job. What a great spirit in the service, and we appreciated that. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Shall we pray? Father, again, we thank you for the privilege to read this most wonderful portion of the Word of God. Thank you for the song that we just heard this evening, reminding us of a Bible truth that people do need the Lord, because according to your Word, dear Father, people are lost and undone in sin, and only Jesus Christ can really change their life and give them purpose and reason for living, and eternal life at that. So Father, now, would you bless us as we again take another journey into this great portion of Scripture. Speak to our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We notice here, and I know I said this past Sunday night, but we see here in 1 John chapter 3, 1 and 2, we see that the love of God is a fatherly love, and it's a family love. Because in this passage of Scripture, he's talking about, now are we called, we shall be called the sons of God. So he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. So we see not only a fatherly love, but a family love. It's a special kind of love, certainly far deeper than any love that we know anything about on an earthly level. The love of God is far richer, far deeper, far wider, and there's just no comparison. There's no way in the world we could ever compare the love that we as humans have toward one another as the love that God has for us. Someone tried to get I don't know if the word is feisty or how they went about it, but they put out a little poem along this line when it comes to the matter of love. They said, love is swell, it's so enticing. It's orange jello, it's strawberry icing. It's chocolate mousse, it's roasted goose, it's ham on rye, it's banana pie. Loves all things without question. In other words, it's indigestion. Now, we know this. According to this passage of Scripture, God knows us and God loves us. And we also, because of his amazing grace, we have the privilege of knowing him, and we have the privilege of loving him. This thing of loving God was an impossibility until he put a lover within our heart. Until he changed our being, we could talk the love of God, we could read about it, but we weren't able to experience, because that's been infused by the Holy Spirit. One of the first things the Holy Spirit of God does when a person's converted, he moves in, of course. He turns us around. He changes us, and he gives us the ability to love God for the first time. And that is a fact. And we love him. And we know him. But like Robbie Mullinax used to sing or sung here at this church, best of all, he knows me. And that's where our greatest security lies tonight. We also know, according to this passage of Scripture, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. It says we know that. Now, isn't that amazing? We actually know that right now. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's amazing that we know that, but we do know that. We may say we don't know that, but deep down in the heart of every Christian, There is that sense that there is that reality. There is that divine assurance. You can't take it away from the child of God. Now, what kind of a love is this that takes paupers and makes them king's kids? That's an amazing love. We see that this is a bestowing love because it says, and I said, I use the word bestowing, the Father hath bestowed upon us. It is a bestowing love. Do you know that when it comes to the matter of family relationship, whether we talk physical family relationship or whether we talk spiritual family relationship, there's three basic ways of getting into a family. Three basic ways. First of all, there's the life principle way. And here's what I mean by that. Physical birth. Physical birth. That's the life, that's the life principle. Physical birth, where the life of the parent is passed on to the offspring. That's one way we get into a family. Then there's another way, not only the life principle, but there's the law principle. The law principle is adoption. Papers are drawn up. They're legally executed. New family members enter into the rights and privileges of the family with all of the same rights and privileges. That's what we call the law principle. The law principle. But now, let's go a step further. There's the love principle. The love principle. That's the marriage love. The love principle that each marriage partner has for one another. And also too, when a person marries someone else, when the husband marries the wife, wife marries the husband, then through that love principle, then the families, in that sense, become one. You're in her family, her people are in your, you see the point I'm trying to make. That's the love principle. So there's three basic ways of entering a family. Now let's bring this into the spiritual realm. There's the life principle. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. That's the life principle. Then you have the law principle. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba means Father. We cry, Father, Father. So there's the law principle as we make that application. And then there's the love principle. Here's a good verse to think about. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married one to another. That you should be married one to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We're wed to Christ. We're betrothed to him. So in those three ways in the spiritual realm, you have there the life principle, the law principle, and the love principle. Now let's come back here to my text. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Have you ever tried to imagine the scene in glory? When God reviews upon his throne the saints of all the ages, have you ever thought about how that's going to be? Now imagine, and you remember that old song, When the Saints Go Marching In? Remember that song? Well, think about that now. Old and New Testament, imagine the scene in glory as God reviews the saints of all the ages as they go marching in. I'm talking about the Old and the New Testament. And I believe it's going to be exciting. Now think about some of those Old Testament saints. Imagine them going marching in. There's old Abel, the first martyr of the faith. There's going to be Enoch, the first saint to experience the rapture. There's going to be Noah, the mighty victor of the flood and the second father of the human race. There's going to be Melchizedek, who was the priest king of God of the Most High. Abraham heralded Melchizedek as the father of all them that in Abraham. Let's go to Abraham. Now Melchizedek was exalted in a rightful way. Then there's Abraham. Imagine when Abraham goes marching in, the father of them that believe, known in heaven as a friend of God. That's Abraham. What about Isaac? Imagine Isaac in heaven, who became obedient unto death. And we know he's highly honored in heaven. He was certainly a type, a picture of Jesus Christ, Isaac. Then we see Jacob, or we will see him. Jacob, renowned in heaven as a prince with God. That's Jacob. Then Joseph, who became a human savior of his people, the type of the savior also. Then what about Job? I wonder what it's going to be like seeing Job. Jesus said, God said, and by the way, when we say God, it could have very well been Jesus anyway, that of those that are born of a woman, none was quite like him upon the earth in a sense. He said that of John the Baptist too. But even Job, what about when he goes marching in? Then old Gideon, the mighty man of valor. Then there's Samuel, the last of the judges, the first of the prophets. Then there's going to be Moses, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, became the deliverer of his people. Then what about David, man after God's own heart? What about Daniel? Daniel, known in heaven as a man greatly beloved. We will see him. John the Baptist, yes. The apostles and Paul. Imagine now seeing Paul the apostle. Imagine talking to him. Imagine hearing him tell with his own mouth of what it was like when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And God turned his life around. And imagine hearing him talk about how he wrote those 13 epistles when the saints go marching in. Then what about the church? What about when the church comes marching in? The grandstand, I believe, will ring with cheers at that moment. And all of the hosts of heaven, I believe, will stand. The trumpets will sound. And the herald angel will announce our fame. And by the way, when you stop and think about it, the church of Jesus Christ, those that have been saved in the New Testament church age, and we read the epistles, and we find the position that the people of God in this dispensation have, don't you know that the angels look on with marvel as they see the church. Sons of God, listen to this, join heirs with Jesus Christ. Has that been said of any other groupings of people? It's said of the church. It's said of us. Seated with him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, far above the great ones of Israel, far above the angels, far above the archangels, far above the principalities and powers and thrones and dominions in every name that is named. Yes, I'm telling you, when the saints go marching in, when glory is complete, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, and I put out a little article on Facebook before I came to church. Well, I actually haven't posted it yet. Think about it. We shall be like him, the Bible says. When we get to glory, the tune will change. We will be saying, I now am like him. And I added a few words to that. You'll have to, I'm putting in a plug for that article. Please sure pull it up. I tell you, I'm thrilled tonight when I think about that. Imagine being like him. Oh, not deity, we know that. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be a blessing to be free from sin, to be free from the curse on this world, to be free from the entanglement of life, to have no sickness, no pain, to have no impairments whatsoever, to be like him, totally free. never having a day clouded by some wrong thought, by some result of our fallen nature. We shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. I'll tell you, God puts that desire within our hearts tonight, doesn't he? To see him as he is. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 again. Beloved, now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. We're blessed. I see two things here. We're blessed with both a sonship. We see that. But we're blessed with assurance of that sonship to go along with it. We see that in that verse. I want to make a quick comment here at this time. There are people tonight, believe it or not, who struggle all the time about the issue of the security of a believer. Many doubt their salvation. There are those that teach you can lose your salvation. But every single time that anyone tries to teach that doctrine, they do so with a misinterpretation of isolated text. You cannot find anywhere in the scriptures that really teach it. What they do, they proof text, they pull a text out, they run with it. For example, they may go to Hebrews, book of Hebrews, where it talks about falling away, and the message, the letter is written to believers anyway. It's not losing salvation. It's rather losing rewards and so forth. But let common sense slip in too. I mean, stop and think about it. You know, in John chapter 3, when Jesus gave those words to Nicodemus, he actually used physical birth to illustrate spiritual birth. And there's similarities. I'll put it like this. How can anyone that's born physically become unborn once they're born? Wouldn't make a bit of sense, would it? Whether into a human family or whether into the heavenly family, how can a person who's born become unborn? Now, here in this life, we die, but we never become unborn. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to recognize our parents. They're going to recognize us as their children upon this earth. I believe we will know in heaven the relationships that were acquired upon this earth. I don't think God saves us, takes us to heaven, and then makes us dumber than we are here, do you? I mean, why would we be dumb walking around in heaven? Who's that person? You know, that looks a little bit like the lady I married right there. I can see myself saying, I mean, why not just have the ability to know that person? I think we will. Amen. I think we will. Now, so the thing now that we're pointing out here, we shall know. We know that when he shall appear. We know. The Bible time and time again talks about knowing. We have a present tense salvation. Notice this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's a present tense salvation. Now. Not will be, but now. You know, when God arrested Moses beside the burning bush in the backside of the desert, what did he say to Moses? He said, I am the God. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He said, I am. God declared himself to be the God of the past also, going back 150 years to Abraham's call in the recent past, the time when Moses was born. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am. You know, he tells Moses, I am. Then he says, I am the God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So he's able to go back in the past, but he's eternally the I am. Eternally. When Moses argued with God and asked for some authoritative name to use before Pharaoh, God replied with the awesome words, I am that I am. declaring himself to be the God of the present. And so God sees the past, and he's in the present, and he sees the future. He knows it all. But he's eternally the same. Eternally. The great I am. Now, one more point and I'm done. I know you're getting tired. This is Wednesday night and everybody's ready to move on, right? Sometimes Bible studies, we pick the wrong night when we do it on Wednesday night because people usually are a little bit tired. And I get that fully. That's why I'm going to hurry up and shut up here shortly. The glorious future of God's children, verse 2, again, part B. Okay? You mind if I say part B? I'm talking about the last part of that verse. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, I'm going to close out with this simple point tonight. God, in his grace, made us his own, declared us his children. We know him as our Lord. We know that we will see him. We know that we will be like him. We will totally be changed. He could come in a moment of time. He could come any time. And all this is going to kick in when he comes back. And I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but I'm glad to go out of church knowing that I'm one of God's beloved. One of his children. There's more I don't know in this world than what I do know, but I'm glad I know the real thing. I know him, but more importantly, he knows me. My future, and I'm talking about all of y'all, is far brighter than y'all's history. What we have to look forward to is far better than where we came from. I'm not at all pleased in my past, but I praise God for the future. It's as secure, it's as real as our being in the Smith Grove Baptist Church tonight. What is awaiting us is just as real as what we're experiencing here tonight, except it's going to be in glory. So that's a pretty good end of the story, isn't it? Amen, beloved, now. Father, thank you for the word of God and bless it to our understanding and meet our needs. And thank you for the holy scriptures that makes us wise. And Lord, use the message to encourage hearts. Bless the time of prayer, the prayer meeting time, the missionary letter, and all the concerns in Jesus' name. Amen.